with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Sports Talk continues. And once again, we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a great guest.
We do, and that is Mike Organ, longtime sports writer with the Tennessean in Nashville. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you?
Fantastic. Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you first about the most recent news coming out of Vanderbilt, and that is the university absorbing the communications department and laying off some of the folks there. I'm kind of reminded of when years ago they decided to turn the athletic department into an intramural department. But what's the thinking behind this?
Jimmy, that was exactly the thought that popped into my head when I heard that they were eliminating the athletics communications department, was that it was another move to try to de-emphasize athletics, as if Vanderbilt needs to de-emphasize athletics any more than it's already de-emphasized, and to fold it into the university. This effort, that was done in 2003. Gordon Gee came in and basically said the sports programs at Vanderbilt, the athletics programs were no different than the sports intramurals at Vanderbilt, wanted to put them under the Vanderbilt, the university umbrella. This seems to be a similar move to put the to control the message that comes out about sports and have it controlled by Kirkland Hall, the university, and a very similar move. And there's been nothing in the 3 days since this started on Monday to change that. It seems that everything that seems to be the situation. When I wrote my story on Tuesday, two employees had been let go, including Andy Boggs, who had been covering had been the basketball mm-hmm. contact for 13 years. As of now, I believe everybody has been let go in the department. I saw on Twitter today some of the other employees posting about, you know, looking for jobs. I think everybody but Alan George, who is the associate athletic director for communications, has been let go. So looks like that's the deal. You nailed it when you said that. I think it's just another move in that direction. Don't think it has anything to do with the corona virus pandemic, economics, anything like that. From what I've been told, this has been planned for a long time, all the way back to before Malcolm Turner came there over a year ago as the athletics director, and that he was able to stop it during his short tenure. And but now that he's gone after 1 year, it's popped back up. And Candace Lee, the new athletics director, from what I've heard, didn't even know this was coming. She learned when everybody else learned.
She didn't know it was coming?
She hasn't said anything since, and that's the word that I have gotten. And if she did, she had no control over stopping it. So it didn't matter if they told her or not.
Has there been a reaction from the coaches, at least off the record, about this move?
I haven't read. You know, I'm not the Vanderbilt beat writer, unfortunately. Adam Sparks is, and he's on vacation this week. I'm sure Adam will reach out to the coaches when he gets back off vacation. As far as any other media outlet that has tried to reach him, I haven't seen anything. There has been a lot of talk about how Tim Corbin, the baseball coach, is taking this because he's the only coach there that has, you know, experienced any, you know, modicum of success long term, and is a class act. And it'll be interesting to hear from Tim. But you know, I do recall in 2003 talking to the coaches, and they just were beside themselves. They couldn't believe it, what was going on, when they were basically doing away with the athletics department and making it just part of the university. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Of course, you know, at this time of the year, coaches are gone and they're hard to get in touch with, too. But I'm sure Adam will be following up with that.
Obviously, Vanderbilt and Mike, certainly appreciate your time. It's good to talk with you. It's not that they have to consult the Southeastern Conference, but I do wonder, when you consider that we all know it just means more, what do you think the SEC reaction might be to a move like this, considering that, I mean, the information is pretty vital whether teams are making their way to Nashville or Vanderbilt is traveling on the road?
Well, you're right. They, you know, Vanderbilt doesn't have to check with the Southeastern Conference before making a move like this. But when the conference is cutting you a $46 billion check each year around this time, it's something you might want to do. At least let them know what you're doing and why you're doing it. I expect, you know, I hear this all the time. Vanderbilt should get out of the SEC, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've been at the Tennessee in 35 years now, and I've heard it every year. And in fact, that's been something Vanderbilt has looked at in the past. And just quite frankly, I had some Board of Control members Board of Regent members tell me at one point that they talked to the ACC, and the ACC said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. We don't have any interest in it. And that they even looked at the Southern Conference. They looked at a lot of different options. But you hear it constantly. Now is a time where I think it's legitimate. I think that in this climate, you can't do what Vanderbilt's trying to do without having some feedback from the conference. So I expect Greg Sankey to get involved at some point and you know, communicate. Vanderbilt has a new chancellor. I think today is his eighth or ninth day on the job. Has zero background in athletics. Don't think he obviously had anything to do with this other than, you know, rubber stamping and saying, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do it. So, but I expect that he will have some conversations soon with the Southeastern Conference.
Mike, we were talking about Dennis Dodd at CBS Sports was talking about his coaches that are on the hottest of hot seats, and in the SEC, he said it starts with Derek Mason. Would you agree with that, or would you go with perhaps a Will Muschamp at South Carolina?
Well, you know, it gets back, John, to talking about what we're talking about. Yeah. Will Muschamp at South Carolina. Is that a place where they care about football and where there's going to be pressure for him to perform? Derek Mason is at a place at Vanderbilt where it's not that important and there's just not that much pressure. You have such a tiny, tiny fan base that I think Derek could squeeze out another year easily, maybe 2 years, especially now with Candace Lee taking over as the athletics director because they have a long relationship. So, you know, barring a 1-10 or however many games that we play this season, if they have only one or two victories, you know, if they can squeeze out three or four wins, I don't think he's on that much of a hot seat. I really don't. They don't have a fan base that can dwindle any more than it has dwindled. So, you know, basically, I guess I'm saying the damage has been done, and I just don't know where that pressure would come from. So should he be on the hot seat? That's a different conversation. Yes, he should be. But is he in reality? I don't really think so.
I guess Mike Organ, longtime sports writer with the Tennessee and in Nashville. Mike, I want to ask you about another topic that I just read about recently, and that is a former Vanderbilt linebacker, Charles Wright, was expelled from school October the 25th, 2019, violation of Title IX. It was said that he sexually assaulted a female equipment manager, and while he was expelled, he was not charged. But I wonder your thoughts on Derek Mason, well, lying about it, saying that the guy was injured, and then they allowed Wright to participate in Pro Day. Your thoughts on those two topics?
Well, that's two things that I'd like to touch on. One, you know, I mentioned Adam Sparks a while ago, and there are – it's not like any other SEC school which has 10 or 20, you know, reporters covering, but there are a few other people that cover Vanderbilt. How are you ever going to take Derek Mason at his word going forward when you know what he did in this case? You know, so I think that is significant for a kid to be expelled for this and then for the coach to just continuously say it was a leg injury, I think has long-term ramifications with the media and the coach. The fact that you let him back on campus is totally puzzling. And what's most disturbing is that the meetings that took place in the decision to let Wright back on campus for the pro day with his accuser still in place as a manager took place under Candace Lee's watch. She was the football contact. Malcolm Turner was the athletics director, but he had only been there a week. So he didn't even hardly speak. Matter of fact, I've been told he didn't speak in the meeting with Wright's parents and Wright in his request to come back for pro day, which Lee okayed. So that's disturbing. And really the most perplexing thing, guys, is what was the big deal? You know, we have here in Middle Tennessee, we have Tennessee State located about 2.5 miles from Vanderbilt, which consistently puts out about the same number of pro prospects as Vanderbilt. We have Middle Tennessee State 25 miles away. We have Innsworth High School, which has better facilities than Vanderbilt in terms of a football field and many other areas. All these places also had pro days. All Derek Mason had to do was pick up the phone and call Tennessee State, MTSU, Innsworth, any of these other places and just say, hey, would you mind if one of our former linebackers comes over and runs some 40s with your guys? And this never comes up. I don't understand how this university that is prides itself on its academia, it was so lax in this area and made such a ridiculous move. And this never comes up, you know. If they just send him 2 miles, you know, Mason can give him a ride over to TSU. Nobody would even know. And whatever it takes, and just avoid this. And instead, you let him come back. His accuser is there, and you send her off to go count jerseys somewhere else while he spends his time performing, and then you let her come back after he's done.
Well, Lee apparently told the alleged victim's mom that they could not prevent him from participating in pro day, which is not true. And then a Vanderbilt spokesperson, Princine Lewis, said allowing Wright to participate in pro day was, quote, inappropriate. So has Lee answered to this?
Yeah, the way they've they tried to cut this off before it got out and started tweeting out, you know, we are inclusive. We anyone a victim of sexual assault, we side with, we fully support, before the news ever even broke. Well, then that kind of got everybody on the trail. And in the process, Vanderbilt started to scurry, and their explanation was that it was a breakdown in communication between, I think, the university police department and the athletics department, and maybe Kirkland, or maybe the university, that it was a three-way breakdown in communication, that he should not have been allowed, but that he was, and we're sorry about that.
Has Mason said anything since this article came out?
No, he has not. Not that I've seen. I don't think he has. No.
Well, he's going to have to answer to that at some point, isn't he?
You know, I think he may fall back on the I don't know. That's a good question. I was going to say that he would fall back on an investigation being underway, but there is no investigation. You know how that's what a lot of coaches will fall back on is, you know, until this is resolved, we can't comment. But it is resolved. He was expelled by the Title IX department at the university. He was not found guilty. The district attorney in Metro did not find enough cause to charge him, but he was expelled. So there was guilt in that respect. Now, will there be a civil suit charge, filed? I don't know. But Mason has not so far commented on this. And I'm sure that Adam reached out to him during, because Adam did a heck of a job on that story. He had all his bases covered. And Vanderbilt eventually just came to him and said, you've got us. What do you want to know?
Well, and the other thing about this is that this incident on pro day occurred, well, not pro day, the incident with this the equipment manager was 5 days in arrears of when the situation occurred with the rape case, the ugly rape case at Vanderbilt. And to me, that's just kind of alarming that you would have this.
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years difference, 2013 to 2018.
I thought you said 5 days.
Okay. Maybe I did. So I didn't mean to. 2013 to 2018 is what I meant to say. So that's what makes it appalling.
And that's what Lee and the interim chancellor their statement was that, you know, of all places that know sexual assault, we know sexual assault, and we know that we have work to do. And while we have made great strides over the last 5 years, there's still work to be done. So they didn't run from that, and I think they did. It was obvious not to try to run from it, but they tried to. That was their message, was that, you know, we know we've got problems. We went through them in 2013, and we had a lot of work to do, and we've made a lot of improvements since then, but we still have some work to do. That was their message. And that was a joint statement from Lee, and I cannot remember the woman's name that was the interim chancellor at the time.
Our guest, Mike Organ of the Tennessean. Mike, on a much brighter subject, what was it like to catch up with Sterling Marlin the other day? It was great to just see how he's doing, even though he's trying to bounce back from a broken foot.
Yeah, you know, broken foot. He said, I've had much worse. I'll get over it, and I'll be in the car. He said he'll be in the car at the next race, which is a week from Saturday. But I think he's been a little bit too optimistic. So the way I wrote the story was that either that race or the one after, which I think is August 8th. So, but I fully expect him to race this year. He needs two races to tie the all-time victories at in the Premier Division at Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. You'd think that that wouldn't be that big a deal to a guy who's won two Daytona 500s and so many other things he's accomplished on the NASCAR circuit, but it really is. He wants to not only tie it, but surpass Joe Buford's record, so he wants three more victories. I did, and I didn't even write this, so this is a scoop for your show. I asked him, I said, can you make it to 65? He's 63, just turned 63 on June 30th. And I said, can you make it to 65? And he goes, I don't know. And that's the first time I've heard Sterling be at all cautious or apprehensive about his ability. And he said, I don't know. He goes, it depends on if my body will hold up. He suffers from Parkinson's disease. He underwent deep brain stimulation surgery, which has helped significantly. And but he still shakes a lot. His speech is slurred, and so he at least he's realistic about how much longer he will be able to go, which kind of makes it better because that means he's going to be pushing himself to get that record either this year or next year probably.
True. Hey, Mike, great stuff. Really do appreciate you taking the time to visit with us, and hope you enjoy the rest of the summer.
Hey, it was good to be with you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, you, Mike. Mike Organ does a terrific job. 35 years he's been with the Tennessean in Nashville.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.